Join me in prayer, please. Father, we come before you, Lord, in the name of your Son. We do thank you that we can gather together here as your excellent ones. We do thank you that you have called us to your Son by your grace, by your mercies. We thank you that you speak to us through your word, Lord. That you have not left us in the dark, but that you instruct us, you encourage, you rebuke, Lord, and you continue to show us your glory. So we do pray that we would be able to see more of you. We pray, Lord, that you would impress these truths upon our hearts. We pray this all in your Son's blessed name. Amen. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's has come and gone, and we have now entered into 2019. Some of us have entered the new year with some new added weight. Well, I being one. Other of us may need a vacation from all the parties and festivities, and others, like my daughter Bethan, have received so many gifts that she doesn't even know what to do with them. We all know that giving is a mark of many people for the holidays. It's no surprise that it's called the season of giving. But as we begin this new year, we shouldn't be surprised that Christians should not just be giving during holiday season, but through every day of the year. This giving can be displayed in many ways, but it should be true of everyone who has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin this new year, I would like us to meditate on two marks of Christian giving from 2 Kings 4:10. It reads, "Let us make a small room on the roof with walls, and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." From here, we will first meditate on Christian giving being generous. Then we will meditate on Christian giving being self-forgetful. And let's read from 2 Kings 4, starting in verse 8 to get the context. "One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, 'Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God, who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there.' One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite.' When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say now to her, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son, and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.' But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her." A couple weeks ago, Tim and Jeremiah wrapped up their sermon in Ruth, where we saw the Lord's kindness manifested in many ways. One of the highlights for me was seeing the kindness of the Lord towards Ruth, her character, and how she was called a worthy woman. As we read throughout our Bibles, we find many worthy women, and our passage today has one of them. We never get her name, but the Lord saw it fit to include her in Holy Scripture, and praise God for this as we get to see our first mark of Christian giving, which is generosity. The opening chapters of 2 Kings opens up with Elisha taking up the mantle of Elijah, and we see the beginning stages of his ministry here in our chapter. In the beginning verses, we find Elisha coming to a woman who is completely distraught. Her husband is dead. Her two children are about to be taken from her. All she has left is a jar of oil. Amazingly, we see that the Lord's kindness shines forth to this widow, and at the same time he testifies to Elisha's prophetic ministry by multiplying the jar of oil so that the widow could pay off her debts. And from here, we cut to Elisha making his trip to Shunem, which was a part of the inheritance that was given to the tribe of Issachar in Joshua 19:18. It was here in Shunem that the Lord would show his kindness and generosity to another woman, but he would first use her to show his generosity to his prophet, Elisha. My wife lovingly jokes around with me that when I lived by myself, I never had to cook for myself. She says this because many of you here provided meals for me. Now I can neither confirm nor deny that to be true, but I can attest to being tremendously blessed by many of you here. Elisha finds himself in a similar situation as I did, as he was blessed with a meal every time he went through Shunem. We are told that it is a husband and wife that take in Elisha, but we are not told much about them. We are told that the woman was a wealthy woman, which could also point to her being prominent in the society. She urges Elisha to eat food at her home, and he goes to her husband and tells him, "Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." The Shunammite woman is not content with simply giving Elisha something to eat, but she wants to give him everything that he will need as he travels back and forth fulfilling his prophetic ministry. She knows that this is a man of God, so she wants to honor and bless him as such, and she looks to give him a place that he could stay, and they even have it built. Elisha now has food. He has a room to pray, to meditate, to write. He even has a bed where he could rest and sleep. All of his needs have been provided. And speaking of the rich in 1 Timothy 6:18, Paul writes, "They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." I would say that Elisha would say that these hosts fit that description. The question is, do we? Not many of us here could probably do exactly what these Shunammites did, but all of us here could be marked by generous giving. And here are a couple ways that we could do this. In our homes, you can invite a brother or sister over for a meal. Pray beforehand that you could be able to provide spiritual food to them, enriching their souls. Even if you do not have the largest home, know that you are able to provide an environment that is filled with the sweet aroma of Christ. And saints, let's have great expectations of what the Lord is able to do through our hospitality and our fellowship. He may as well use you for someone's eternal good. Personal story. I'll never forget our elder Tim Lloyd, who one day invited me over for lunch and for fellowship. I was at my worst, to say the least. I was anxious. I was worried. I didn't know how was I even going to make it until tomorrow. It was one of the darkest times of my soul. The Lord used Tim that day not just to give me physical food, but he gave me words that encouraged, invigorated, and motivated me to keep pressing forth by the grace of God. I truly believe that one of the main reasons that I'm standing here before you is because of that conversation. That was generous giving. That was hospitality. And the Lord is able to do the same with any of you for another brother or sister. In regards to our homes, we could also look to host missionaries or other believers that are coming from out of town, just as the Shunammites hosted Elisha. The next time one of them is visiting, we should all be texting Pastor Paul and overwhelming him and asking him, "Brother, have they found a home to stay yet?" And hearing stories from some of you here, it seems that the hosts are as encouraged as the guests, and that is awesome. We could also look to be marked by generosity in our giving through our finances. The Shunammites, they were wealthy, and we saw how they put their finances to work in our passage. They provided numerous meals to Elisha, and they were content with that, but they wanted to go above and beyond, so they provided for him a place to stay. And one of the highlights for us as a church is that 2018 was a year that was marked by generous giving. And it is something that's been said so many times, but it's worth saying one more time. Praise the Lord. But let's excel even more and pray that we will grow in our giving and look to outdo ourselves in 2019. And one area in our church's financial life that I know that many of us are ecstatic is that our missionary budget was increased by 60%. That's just awesome. It should be our heart's desire and prayer that the Lord will send us even more missionaries that we can partner with. It should be a daily prayer. Lord, send us more and more people that would go forth and send your gospel so that we can see the Great Commission be fulfilled throughout all the nations. As we begin the new year, I would love to make a suggestion to each of us here. The suggestion is that we would all prayerfully consider adopting one of the missionaries as part of our daily budget. We can support them financially. We can send them an email periodically. We can send them a care package. And as we give, we can hope and pray that the Lord would provide us more, for that we can provide not just for one, but maybe even all the missionaries. How great would that be? And parents, this is a fun way to get your children involved. I don't know if some of you know, but sometimes I receive letters and cards from the children saying that they're praying for me, that they're encouraged by me. What a great way to have them just write a letter of encouragement to a missionary. I'm sure that they will be blessed by that. And by all this, what we're instilling is that it is our honor and our privilege to be able to give generously to those who are seeking to have the Lord's name be exalted among the nations. But before we continue, we must ask, how is this type of giving even possible? I would argue that this type of generous giving that we have been talking about flows out of a heart that has been gripped with the generosity of the Lord. We are gripped with it because we know that the only thing that we deserve is eternal damnation. We see that everything comes from the Lord. The air that we breathe, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, our eyes, our ears, even the ability to think is a gift from Him. We see that every spiritual blessing that we possess in Christ, and we are overwhelmed that they are so numerous, wonderful, and precious. To be chosen before the foundation of the world, to be justified by grace, to have our sins be forgiven, to be co-heirs of Christ and adopted as sons and daughters of the God Most High. We see all of this and say with the psalmist, how precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. We are gripped by the generosity of the Lord. So in turn, we are marked by generous giving and self-forgetfulness, which will lead us to our second meditation. Self-forgetfulness is not something that is natural to, it's not natural to men, as self sits enthroned on his heart, which is full of pride, greed, and unquenchable thirst for glory. His favorite words are me, myself, and I, and he can't help but to think about his own interests, desires, and wants. I know that this is not foreign to any of you, and it's not foreign to me, as we were all there at one point. But the Lord does such a wonderful work, the Lord does such a wonderful work in us and gives us new hearts that are enabled to give and to be marked by self-forgetfulness. I believe that this Shunammite woman was marked by self-forgetfulness, and she was not looking toward her own interests when she and her husband made a small room for Elisha and all the furnishings. We see in verse 9, in our own verse, that the motivation is that Elisha is a holy man of God, and this will serve him well in his ministry. Even after they make the room, we find them nowhere asking Elisha a favor. This is a stark contrast to Elisha's servant Gehazi, who seeks his own interests when his greed is put on display in 2 Kings 5, 20 through 27. What we do see is that Elisha is the one who initiates with her and sees what he could do for her. It takes Gehazi mentioning that she has no son and that her husband is old. And as we read throughout our Old Testament, we know that barrenness is not a light thing. We can look to the many years that Sarah and Abraham had to wait for their son. We can read Hannah's account and see how she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord as she wept bitterly, asking for a son. And I would not think that it would be too far off to think that this Shunammite woman had her own internal struggles with barrenness. Even though she and her husband were wealthy, they were still missing this one thing. What we see, though, is that she is not consumed with that or even mentions it, but she is consumed with giving generously to this man of God, forgetting herself and interests. We can glean from this that looking to the interests of others and their well-being helps us to forget about self and our own troubles. And this is what we learned a few sermons ago when Pastor Paul preached on having the mind of Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. When we have the mind of Christ, we can count others more significant than ourselves, as we become more focused on their welfare and interests than our own. And as we do this, our minds will be renewed as we become more heavenly minded. We begin to be more focused on storing up treasure in heaven than here on earth, which frees us up with so much preoccupation with self. And in all this, the Lord is ever watching and ever working all things for our good. We might not know the Shunammite woman's name, but the Lord knows. He also knew what the desire of her heart was, and he was pleased to grant that godly desire. Nothing goes unnoticed by the Lord. Even though she wasn't asking for anything from Elisha, she received a blessing that even she could not have imagined. So as we give and use the talents that the Lord has given us, let's long for that day when we will hear the blessed words of our Master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Master.